The Mighty Podcast, Attention and Well-being in the Multi-Generational Workplace. 12th March 2026, by Elementary Content Team. Episode 3, Shifts Perspective. This time the question isn't so much about where we work, but who we work with. By Ian Ellison, Workplace Geeks. Listen to Episode 3 now. How do workplaces need to adapt to support multi-generational talent? In the first two episodes of this series, we explored two very different workplaces: a scientific laboratory deep underground, a security intelligence and operations center, quietly coordinating safety across society. Two unique, but nonetheless high-performing places. Episode 3, Shifts Perspective. This time, the question isn't so much about where we work, but who we work with. How can workplaces evolve to support arguably the broadest age range of people we've ever seen under one organizational roof? The question guiding this episode is, how do workplaces need to adapt to support multi-generational talent? Generations as context, not caricature. Generational debates can often start in the wrong place and quickly reinforce judgmental stereotypes, entitled millennials, fragile Gen Z, cynical Gen X, inflexible boomers. These labels may be familiar, but they're far from helpful. As Dr. Paul Redmond explains in this episode, generational theory is not about predicting individual behavior based on sweeping descriptions. It's about understanding the socio-cultural context people grow up in and how that context tends to shape expectations, habits, and assumptions about the world. Successive generations develop within a particular mix of technology, politics, economics, and culture. That mix leaves a psychological imprint. Not a straitjacket, but a lens through which to perceive things. We all have agency, but that agency sits alongside a backdrop shaped long before we enter the workplace. Seen this way, generational theory becomes a useful heuristic, a rule of thumb for awareness, not a tool for categorization. Technology as an accelerator. What makes today's generational mix especially challenging is the role of technology. Millennials sit at a pivotal point. Like boomers and Gen X, many grew up during the transition from analog to digital. They remember life before the internet, but came of age alongside it. In that sense, they are both digital immigrants and early digital natives. Gen Z and Gen Alpha, by contrast, have never known a world without always-on connectivity, social media, and streaming content. Their relationship with information, attention, identity, and social interaction is fundamentally different. This matters at work. Mighty's recent research shows widespread dissatisfaction with workplace environments, alongside declining productivity and rising concerns around well-being and neuro-inclusivity. Younger workers in particular are far more likely to report mental health challenges or identify as neurodivergent. This is a complicated situation, but it almost certainly isn't about fragility. One thing's for sure, though. Traditional workplaces aren't designed for how many people now need to think, focus, and collaborate. Attention, purpose, and well-being. The one theme that runs through the entire episode is attention. As Redmond puts it, attention may become the most valuable resource of the future workplace. But with technology comes a paradox. While simultaneously enabling work, it's very often eroding our ability to focus. Distraction is no longer just environmental, it's behavioral. We bring it with us willingly in our pockets. We've normalized multitasking. We tolerate constant interruption, and the result can impact our well-being. Mighty's research reinforces this. Dissatisfaction with workplace conditions correlates with anxiety, reduced engagement, and declining performance. Younger workers may feel this acutely, but no generation is immune. Alongside attention, two other needs consistently emerge: purpose and belonging. Mighty's Lee Cater highlights that while generational differences exist, expectations around being valued, respected, and connected are remarkably consistent across age groups. These aren't generational traits, they're fundamentally human ones. From theory to practice, Lloyd's Banking Group. To see how this plays out in practice, the episode turns to Lloyd's Banking Group. With tens of thousands of colleagues across hundreds of locations, Lloyd's faces the full complexity of a multi-generational workforce whilst transforming from a traditional banking institution into a huge fintech business. Elizabeth Linden and Sarah Tate describe Lloyd's workplace experience approach, grounded in fundamentals: well-functioning buildings, reliable services, spaces that support focus and collaboration. Then on top of that, layered experiences that foster connection, mentoring, and community. Crucially, they recognize that buildings don't create culture. People do. Workspace can enable or hinder that culture, but it can't substitute for it. Overall, their approach blends generational awareness with life stage thinking, early career development, mid-career growth, later career contribution, mentoring, and reverse mentoring. All enabled with inclusive, flexible, and purposeful workplaces by design. Designing for different, together. One of the biggest challenges for workplace professionals is turning ideas and concepts to practical action. Suhan's work at Mighty shows how people experience the same environment very differently. Noise, lighting, layout, temperature, air quality. These factors affect attention, comfort, and performance in ways that traditional metrics don't capture. The challenge is that many organizations only realize something is wrong when disengagement or attrition appears in the data. Designing for inclusion means making the invisible visible, using qualitative insight alongside quantitative data, recognizing neurodiversity, and accepting that one-size-fits-all environments rarely serve anyone particularly well. Practical implications for employers. So what does all this mean in practice? First, treat generational theory as context, as a means, not an end. Use it for awareness, not assumptions. And second, focus on universals. Attention, well-being, and purpose matter to everyone. Design for those first, then allow flexibility in how different groups engage with them. Third, align strategy. Workplace design, technology, property, HR, and FM cannot operate in silos if organizations want to support diverse talent effectively. Finally, measure what matters. Not just space utilization or cost efficiency, but how supported, focused, and connected people feel. Seek insights from both qualitative and quantitative data. The counterintuitive conclusion of this episode is that the best way to design for multiple generations may be to stop designing for generations at all. Instead, design workplaces that recognize human variety, support human needs, and allow people at different life stages to do their best work together.